This podcast is presented to you by Pastor Bill Shear and Guts Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma. For more information, please visit gutschurch.com.
Are you guys ready to get in the Word? Huh? You feel like you're informed now? Did you take notes there? Don't rely on your memory. No weaklings in here. You're signing up for the second mile, and we're going to change the world for Jesus, huh? Man, the next 18 months are huge for me in front of me. I normally get excited about the next year in November, December, and I'll tell you, God will speak to me, give me a word about what's going to happen the next year. But you know what? This year it happened like in January. God started ministering to me and speaking to me and impressing upon me what about 2015, how incredible it's going to be in this church. Man, ministry is just going to mushroom in this church. Man, ministry to the Hispanic community is just going to be lights out. The distribution center is going to take off like a rocket. Man, so many things that we're believing God for. I'm telling you, the best is yet to come. But we've got to ready ourselves. And see, too often what happens in our life is we take hits or something will happen which will define us. It'll be a defining moment because of what happened to us. The exchange with somebody, the transaction with somebody, or the calamity, or maybe a tragedy that happened. And I'm here to tell you that those defining moments that you have to, it's not so much about the moment, it's about the decision in the moment that defines us. See, and what kind of decision are you going to make? See, because to your flesh, let me help you. To your flesh, it's interesting because conviction and condemnation kind of feel the same to our flesh. But how you know if it's conviction is if you step toward God. If you're going through something in your life and you step away from God, it's condemnation. If you step toward God, it's in the decision that you make. It's like temptation and sin. They feel like the same thing, but they're not. In that the point of temptation, if you step toward God, it just becomes conviction. And it's a loving conviction. It's a safe and protective conviction. But if you step away from God, it's condemnation. And it begins to cool your soul to where it gets cold. It begins to just wax over. And see, we've got to look at our lives and understand that you're going to have a few defining moments in your life. But understand this, they will define you. And it's how you react. It's how you respond. It's your response to what happens. It's the decision that you make from it. You know, we blame something that's happened for defining our lives, and that's not the case. What's going to be the next one? What are you going to do with the next one? What will the next decision, defining decision that you make in your life be? You know, I brought it up. What we do, what you do in the next 18 months is going to be pivotal. To me, it's gigantic. I can't impress upon you enough what I sense in my spirit about the race we're in right now. And I kind of look at it like that, the race that we're running right now between now and throughout 2015. I'm just telling you, it's just an incredible, incredible season. But listen, unity and connectivity are pivotal. Unity, it's pretty clear, but listen, unity, a little leaven leavens a whole lump. If there's disunity in your home, there's not going to be unity here for you. If there's disunity on your job, there's not going to be unity here for you. And see how that works. See, some of you guys might have a supervisor that you don't like or you don't respect or you don't think ought to be over you. And you know what? Maybe they shouldn't. But let me tell you, that's not your responsibility. Your responsibility is to do your job with the right attitude. That's what's going to make the impact on the earth. That's what's going to matter. I mean, there's so many times, and let me tell you the kind of the example. Pastor Sandy and I'd go and preach, and we were kind of itinerant preachers before we started the church. And then after we did, it's how we paid to keep the lights on, is I'd go preach somewhere, and they'd give me a check, and we'd pay our rent, and we'd do other things. But the bottom line is that everywhere we went, it seemed like in small towns, I'd sit out with the pastor before I preach, and they'd say, "This is the occult capital of the county." And the first few, I thought, oh, wow. And then later on, I thought, oh my gosh, everybody's got this same kind of suppressive feel to him, like the enemy's all over the place. And you know what? He very well may be. But I'm just telling you this, no weapon formed against you can prosper. We're the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. But see, unity is pivotal and connectivity is pivotal. How you get to connectivity? I'll just tell you how you get to connectivity is that the same way you get to God. The Bible says this, you draw near to God, he'll draw near to you. You draw near to God, it's this long of a step, but you know what? God will draw near to you where it'll overtake you. It'll come upon you and overtake you. That's what his blessings will do. That's who God is. But see, for you to connect here in the church, you've got to take, some of you guys will say, I've come to church for 6 months and I don't have any friends at the church. I'm telling you, it's not as hard as you're making it. What you have to have is 4, 5, 6, or 7 friends here at the church. It's gonna be incredible for you if you start there. If you just make, listen, 4, 5, 6, or 7 friends. More than that, you may not have time for it. Less than that, there may not be availability. Why? Because you have to have that connection that you're not going through and taking hits on your own. Man, you girls in here that have got husbands that are coming to church, and man, make sure that they've got friends. Talk to them about their friends. Man, there's been so many times in my life, in my marriage, Pastor Sandy and I have been married for 30 years, and so many times she'll say, Bill, who are your friends? Who are you talking to? Man, who's in your life? And you know what? It's a little more subtle than that, but that's what it boils down to. The Bible says there's safety in a multitude of counsel. There may not be direction, but there's gonna be safety. And the big thing that God wants to keep you is safe. So why? Because the enemy's trying to sabotage you, and you don't need to be the devil's advocate in your life. Man, the devil doesn't need an advocate in your life. Man, you gotta be full-fledged against his operation in your life. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Dwell together is connectivity in unity. But see, what it boils down to in us looking for this next defining moment in our life, I'm gonna give you 3 simple things, okay? Simple. Man, if you write it down, you'll probably never forget it. Number one, you have to be all in. See, that's how this works. That's how marriage works. That's how my relationship with God works. See, that's why when people say, it's not a religion, it's a relationship. No, it's not a religion. It's not just relationship. It's all in. It's covenant. See, that's what covenant is. How many of you guys are covenant people? You really are. You're covenant people. I'm a covenant man, if you want to know. I'm hard to shake loose. You know what? It's because it's about covenant for me. See, what's mine is yours. What's yours is mine. Man, if Sandy asked me, the answer is yes. That's just the bottom line. If Scott asks me a question, if Scott needs something, the answer is yes. Why? It's covenant. And you'll say, well, we don't need to be yes men. Oh my gosh, God's a yes man. He said, I'm not a yes and no God, I'm a yes God. Yes and amen to his promises. See, we've got to understand, it's not about just whatever, it's according to his word, it's according to his will, God becomes a yes God. And you know what? The same thing has to hold true for us. But we have to be all in. Let's go to the word here in Mark the 12th chapter. Mark the 12th chapter, and we're gonna, and really that's the only chapter we're gonna use this morning, so you just have to probably flip one page if you have to. Verse 28, then one of the scribes came and having heard them reasoning together, perceived that Jesus had answered them well. He asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him and said, the first of the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Verse 30, listen. And here's how he breaks it down. And you shall love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. He doesn't just say, love God with your life. No, you know what? He reaches into that guy's chest and he grabs his heart. And he says, hey, you gotta love God with all your heart, all your passion. Every bit of your desire, you gotta love God. Man, you've got to, that's why in June the 6th, 1979, when I said, Jesus, I give you my life, God, I give you my heart. You know what? I actually did. I'm just telling you, that day, I went all in. And you know what? I had to walk it out for the next few months. Man, where was it? Where any kind of step was kind of like this. And and like this, and the next thing you know, and then you know what it felt like? Because it felt like it was arduous for me to make this walk of faith that I was on. Then I look back on the first year I was a Christian, it was like I was on one of those moving sidewalks at the airport. It's like I'm walking, but you know what? Man, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is incredible. And then I'm looking at the people that are walking and they're not on those sidewalks and they're dragging their bags. And I'm thinking, hey, idiot, get on this thing, man. It's moving. Why are you dragging that? Are you kidding me? You just want to be in a bad mood? You just want people to hate you? Man, get on this track here. And it was just kind of like this. The next thing you know, you're zooming. But it's with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Your soul is, man, the outpouring and the gushing of your life. Man, that's where the rivers of living water, man, where, man, in that soul part, in, with all your mind, your mindset, with all your strength. Man, how many of you guys in here, and I, this requires an answer. It's not a rhetorical question. How many of you guys in here want to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might? How many people in here? Man, that's what this is all about. So you know what I'm going to do? God, I'm going to give you my strength. God, I'm going to love you. I'm going to commit to you. I am all in with all my strength. Then you know what? Even in my weakness has made his perfect strength. This is the first commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There's no other commandment greater than these. See, two things here. Write this down. Two things to go all in. You have to stay humble, and you have to stay hungry. And those are dangerous things to omit in your life. Stay humble and stay hungry. You know, it's like those, like prize fighters. Man, I'll tell you what happens when they win and they get that belt and they get that big purse and they move into the big house and they got people driving them around. Man, they become easy marks. See, we've got to stay humble and hungry. Humble, Proverbs 16, 18, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Pride comes before the fall. Man, people that fall, whether they're politicians or businessmen or ministers or athletes or whatever, it's not sin, it's not wrong that where they fall. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. It's pride. Man, we get prideful in it. Let me tell you what pride does in your life. Man, I tell you, Taylor probably right now is like, come on, Dad, because this has been literally 20 years of his life now where I've just been straight with him. Man, there's two things that are going to mess with you as a man. Number one is going to be your pride. And the other one goes with a men's meeting or something. But pride, what happens with pride in your life, we all have pride. It isn't just me. So don't look at me like I'm guilty, okay? You're in the same boat. But pride, when in your life and it's unfettered, if you're not crucifying your flesh daily, if you're not staying humble, let me tell you, life will humble you. And because pride comes into your life and it begins to swell. And pride swells, and you guys all know what I'm talking about here. But when that begins to swell in your heart, then there's no room for God to inhabit it. And God isn't going to take a duplex in your heart with pride. Because pride is you being the Lord and you being the Lord of your life. And it's narcissistic. And see, that's something we have to... So pride comes before the fall. But hungry is just as pivotal. Matthew 5, 6, Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. The world is full of billions of people that are empty and can't get filled. Why? Because they're not hungering and thirsting after righteousness. They're hungering and thirsting after stuff, after accolades. They're hungering and thirsting to make that next team or that next lineup. And that's not what it's about. It's time for us to hunger and thirst. I have tasted of God's righteousness, right standing with God. The Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. I'm hungry for that. That's why it's so important to live a fasted life. That's why it's so important to go on a fast. And you know what? You fast your flesh and it screams and you think you're miserable and you're gonna die. But you know what? You're feasting your spirit where you're putting God first. And let me tell you, that's how humility works. That's how hunger works. You're hungry. God, I'm hungry. God, I'm so hungry for you. God, I want so much more of you. God, help me. God, I'm not able to do this. God, there's too many decisions. There's too many people. There's too many moving parts. God, I can't keep all these plates spinning. God, I'm hungry for more of you. God loves us to hit that point. Though I'm pressed from every side, I receive no pressure in my heart. That's what Paul said. Here's a man that wrote almost two-thirds of the New Testament. There was some pressure in his life. All in. It's a decision you make. You grit your teeth, you dig your heels in, you take on all comers, and you're all in. Number two, you have to go all out. I told you it'd be easy to remember. Mark 12:41. You know, it's interesting. There aren't the words we have in the English language for knowing and doing are the same word in the Hebrew. Knowing and doing are the same words. You can do it. You just have to know it. See, that's why these church services are so pivotal. You know what you're doing now? You're thinking. You know what's happening now? You're allowing the Spirit of God to search your heart. What's in there? What's going to pull you down? What's going to mess you up? And what's going to sink you? And then you know what? These services, you're like, oh my gosh, this is obvious. I'm pulling this out of my life. Man, that's what God does in these services. We have to go all out. Mark 12:41, a few verses later. Now Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw how people put money into the treasury. And many who were rich put in much. Then one poor widow came and threw in two mites. So he called his disciples to himself and he said to them, assuredly, I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all those who've given to the treasury, for they put in out of their abundance. But she, out of her poverty, put in all that she had. Now listen to the next three words. All her livelihood. She put in it all. All her heart, all her soul, all her mind, all her strength went into that bucket as a quadrant. All of it went in. And you know what? Man, it probably didn't make any noise when it dropped in there. Her whole livelihood. Go all out. Let's not be the church that again, for another generation, taps out when it gets difficult. Or you know what? Halfway's it. Yeah, you know, times got hard. You know, I need to take a break. Let me tell you. We overuse a word called sabbatical way too much. You don't take a sabbatical from the word. You don't take a sabbatical from prayer. You don't take a sabbatical from going to church and assembling yourselves together. You know why? There's people you're connected with. You don't take a sabbatical from being a husband or a father. Let me tell you, husband and father, you're in for life. I'm just telling you. Taylor's full grown. Taylor's a man, but he's also a child because he has a dad. Long as he has a dad on this earth, Kennedy's a child as long as she has a mom, has a dad. It's that easy. Number one, you're all in. Number two, you go all out. Number three, you repeat it. It's that easy. You know, rinse, lather, rinse, repeat. You're all in. You go all out. Are you trying? See, and I'm telling you, what happens with the fourth step of this equation is purpose. All in. Go all out. Repeat.
Thanks for listening to the Guts Church Podcast. For more information on service times, please visit gutschurch.com.